Welcome to Living with Dying, a podcast where we're going to talk about the unspeakable, everything to do with death and dying, and how to live with it. We're all on the same journey towards the end, but we just never talk about it. We don't like to think of our own life ending, and we certainly don't like to contemplate losing our nearest and dearest. So we all join in this huge conspiracy, pretending it won't happen to us. And then, when it does, we're often ill-prepared. So we're saying, let's talk about death. Let's open up the subject, and by listening to other people's stories, glean some advice and tips on how best to approach death, how to deal with loss, and how to rebuild a life after.
Well, I'm delighted today to be joined by Emily Cumming from Untangled Grief. And you're the founder of Untangled Grief, Emily. And I'm going to ask you to describe it because I know it's an app. And I know you've formed this enormous supportive community. But can you kind of take me back to the beginnings of all this, of why you started it, what happened?
Sure. So thanks for inviting me on today. I'm kind of excited to talk. So I started Untangle after my grandpa Harold died. I'm the oldest grandchild, so I found myself an oldest daughter kind of stepping in to support my grandma. And it was really, really difficult. I remember like the morning of the funeral, it was just me, went round to her house to help set up the house for everyone who was coming back to the house after the funeral. And we were kind of running around and I was trying to, you know, be strong and kind of calm for my grandma. Although now I think being strong means also being all types of emotional, and found myself kind of that just kind of continued. So then I was kind of helping her with the bills and, you know, where do we move things over? Whose name should they be? And what does that look like? And it was a really hard process. You know, I was kind of going on Google and trying to find information. And then we were trying to find, you know, which lawyer to talk to. And they all had different advice. And I was grieving as well. And my friends hadn't really gone through it yet. So I was like, why isn't there more support out there? And it would be lovely to just have some kind of app that just holds your hand through the process and provides support along the way. And so, yeah, for fast forward a few years, I set up Untangle, and really we're that. We have a supportive community. So we have daily live kind of video support groups, chat forums. It's all safeguarded and moderated. We have guides to help you work out what you need to do when someone dies. It's all step by step. And then lots of kind of videos and tools from experts like nutritionists and therapists kind of explaining what grief actually does to your brain and your body and how to cope and how to manage those, you know, really overwhelming emotions that come. So it's still early days, you know, we've still got lots more we want to build and create, but really we kind of want to provide that community support and make the whole admin process a lot easier for people to navigate.
And how many people would you say you have in your community now?
Yeah, we've got on the app 50,000 people from all around the world. We have members in 138 countries, which always blows my mind. But it's for a community, it's actually really helpful because it means that it can be the middle of the night for you. And, you know, you come on to, they have people say, oh, I couldn't sleep. I was really struggling. And you open up the app and write a post. And then there's always kind of 30 people all around the world that are awake at that time, and maybe it's morning for them, and that are able to reply. So, and then we've got a kind of across our socials as well, we've got about 500,000 following. So it's, I think the messaging is resonating with people, and we try and be quite raw and honest and talk about, you know, like grief is hard. We don't sugarcoat that. And I think that resonates with a lot of people.
So it's sounding like there are lots of different ways people can access you. I like the idea of it being sort of open all hours, available around the world. That then would be peer support, wouldn't it?
Yeah, so that's the peer support element. And we also have kind of expert support. So if you need to talk to our team and get some help, maybe you're trying to work out some processes around you know, probate or packing up a house, our team can help you. And we haven't launched this yet, but next year we're going to launch that you can book rated experts. So the community can say, had an amazing therapist or, you know, an amazing lawyer or amazing financial advisor I worked with. And we can start partnering with them and you can have conversations with them in the app as well.
Must be complicated operating around the world, though, because probate is going to be different in different places, surely. And what?
Yes, no, it's a good question. So we're going to start that aspect in the UK, and then at some point, you know, we'll expand internationally. The emotional support is, and the peer support works really well internationally, but the definitely the legal or the financial, the logistical stuff is different. And even, you know, in the US, it's different state by state. So it's not the fastest thing to roll out. But we're going to, and I know it's a bit of a scary buzzword, but use AI and start to kind of use like fancy technology to make the process a lot simpler for people. So hopefully that should speed it all up as well. And you know, even with the emotional support, different cultures have different approaches to death, and the way that they deal with death is different, and that creates different challenges as well. So, you know, I remember we had a community member, I think she was Senegalese, and she said that a funeral there is like a celebration of life. So everyone was dancing and singing and kind of cheery, and that's the kind of normal approach. And she said it was really difficult because actually she just really wanted to cry. And everyone was like, stop crying, come on, like party, celebrate. And she was looking for a space where she could cry. And that was what she needed at the time. So I think it's just being aware of those different cultures and then finding people that get what you need at that moment as well.
Has it helped you personally, Emily?
Yes. Selfishly, I set this up for me more than anyone. And one of the things, so when I first started, the kind of before we launched the app, I used to run meetup groups, bereavement meetup groups. And actually they were in person originally and then they moved online. So I used to meet up with people at like a pub or a cafe or go for a walk with other people that were grieving. And it was so helpful just to be able to just talk and, you know, talk about my grandpa and also kind of the family and the dynamics and all the things that were playing out. And since then, I think I've run about 35,000 minutes of peer support groups. And still now, every week, I kind of facilitate an online support group, normally on Sunday evenings. And sometimes, you know, not every week I feel like I'm in the mood to run a bereavement support group. But actually, I always come away from them feeling almost, I wouldn't say rejuvenated, but just quite hopeful that this is difficult and isolating, but actually being able to talk to other people, it helps me process my own emotions. Sometimes I find it hard to, I go into kind of like survival mode and I sometimes struggle to really feel the feelings and the sadness and the pain. And I think it's maybe my body protecting me or something, but actually being listening to other people and hearing them talk and putting into words what they feel helps me to understand my own feelings and to also connect with my own feelings as well. So it's really, really cathartic for me. And it's nice also to know that I'm doing something that I found really difficult, hopefully over time will as a team make it easier for other people. So yes, it's been very helpful for my grief. Probably the same as for you doing this is for yours.
I think it's kind of half a displacement activity, isn't it? It gives us something else to focus on.
True, yeah.
It isn't a displacement activity that is all around grief. Yes, it does. It pulls you back in sometimes and makes you stop, realise what you may not be acknowledging in yourself. And I know you've lost your grandma recently. I didn't ask, were you able to draw on your own experience in handling your grief around that?
Yeah, I am. It's been interesting. I was away, I was living abroad. We spoke about this before, when she died. Funerals happen really quickly. I'm Jewish, so it was like within 2 days. And I had this kind of sudden confrontation of, you know, do I go back to the funeral? Will I be able to get back in time? And being away from family, you know, that's a very different experience when you lose someone. So, and actually it was very helpful. I discussed this with some of our members and, you know, everyone has different views on kind of who the funeral is for and how it, what the best thing for yourself to do. And also being away from home and like the feelings of kind of wanting to be close to the family. And also, you know, there was lots of different family politics playing out that were quite difficult as well. So I found it really tough, but it was good to talk to everyone. And everyone has, you know, everyone had a different take on kind of like, would it be helpful to go back? Would it not? What do you need to do for you? So, yeah, I'm still kind of processing that actually at the moment. And I know it will take time. And I ended up, it's funny because I was in Spain and my grandma used to live there for like a few months every year. And so I found, and we always used to get these, they were like these yogurt pots, but they were ceramic and they had these like, I didn't find the exact ones. I went into so many supermarkets trying to find them, but it was like a custard, it's like creamy custard. It was kind of cinnamony. And we used to eat those in the morning and then we'd paint the pots with her. And I have so many nice memories of doing that. So I went on this kind of absolute pursuit to try and find the pots. I did find the pots, but they had this horrible yogurt in them. And I've brought some of them back with me. And so kind of found ways of feeling close to her in a different way. Actually, funnily enough, I was so near to where we used to, where she used to live, that I did feel quite connected with her. And I want to go and visit her house. And I spoke to my cousin yesterday, and she was saying that, you know, the house looks very different because a lot of her things aren't there and she's not there. And actually, maybe it's more cathartic to just keep the memory of the house, you know, as I remember it, which is going over there and her, you know, the kitchen was always full of, she used to make amazing turkey meatballs and like amazing smells and apple pie, and her kind of coming out and she always sat at the head of the table and produced amazing things from the kitchen, and just sitting and talking to her for kind of hours. She was a very wise woman. She was a real matriarch of the family. So I'm kind of trying to navigate whether to, trying to work out whether I want to go there or keep, preserve that memory as it is. And they're all things that are actually really helpful to talk through with everyone on the app. So it has been helpful, but I think to kind of what I said earlier about this displacement, sometimes it can be a distraction. And I'm really trying to find space to feel my feelings, and actually recently started a new type of therapy. It's somatic therapy. It's all about kind of being in your body, and I wanted to test it out as well, so that, because we've got therapists on the app, and you know, do we want to add different types of therapy? We already have different types, but more different types. It's really interesting. It's like type of therapy where it's very physical, and you know, I found myself like prancing around the room and doing all these movements, and actually it's really amazing to feel kind of the physically feel so much emotion that's like stored in the body. And I know that happens because sometimes when I'm emotionally not feeling great, you know, I'll get pains in my neck and my back, and when I exercise I can feel it releasing. And so I can feel the feelings, but I'm trying to kind of get closer to them and get them out of my body and into kind of tears and anger and all the other emotions that I know are sitting there and need to come out.
It's really interesting. We did an episode recently. I interviewed one of the pastoral care workers at the hospice, Thames Hospice, about the language of death and dying. And we talked a lot about things around the heart, because our body is really involved in grief, isn't it? And phrases like heart sink and downhearted and heavy hearted and all those things, you realize when you're in grief that those phrases are not random. They really apply to bits of your body that hurt.
Yeah, definitely. And there was a study done recently that said, I mean, it was quite a tenuous link, but that you do. You there is brokenhearted condition, I think I'm going to get this wrong, but and that there were very, very, very rare cases where people had died from this heart condition. So it gives some merit to the phrase, you can die of a broken heart, but take it with a slight pinch of salt, because it was, you know, one in a million or something. But definitely it's very physical. And I think that's something, you know, sometimes I feel lethargic and it's hard to know whether that's, you know, you're just having a down day, or is that grief, or what's going on. But I guess it doesn't really matter. If you can feel something in your body, then there's something there. So listening to that is helpful.
Certainly saps energy, doesn't it?
Yeah, it definitely does.
I remember being capable of about 50% of what I would normally be capable of. Energy in the brain, your brain fog is enormous, I think. You're overwhelmed with feelings and thoughts that you weren't expecting, and it leaves very little room for other stuff.
Yeah, I mean, sometimes I've just noticed I struggle to recall certain words. And it's quite a small thing, but it's annoying, and probably is related to that kind of extra stress and of going through, you know, this bereavement of my grandma and being away from home and kind of trying to figure out where I am with that.
And carrying on working as you are.
Yeah, exactly.
So tell me, can we sort of talk about some of the main things that draw people to your app, perhaps, and the main lessons, not lessons, perhaps, but the main comforts that they get from it?
Sure. So the two words we hear all the time, and you probably hear them too, are people feel lonely and they feel overwhelmed after a bereavement, or even anticipating the death of a loved one as well, because we do have support groups for, you know, dementia loss, anticipatory grief, because it's a very difficult process when you're watching someone you love die and potentially caring for them as well. But the main thing, that loneliness aspect, a lot of people feel like they can't, you might have amazing friends and amazing family, but if they haven't been through it, even if you're all grieving the same person, your relationship with that person is different. And so it can be very isolating. You know, losing a child is different to losing a partner, to losing a parent. And so a lot of our members come because they just kind of really want to talk to someone else that's not judging them, that isn't, maybe doesn't know them too well and isn't going to get worried when they say, oh, look, I just, you know, I don't see the point of life at the moment. And hey, that happens. Just some, you know, sometimes with friends, they're like, oh no, they panic and they try and fix it. And actually it's nice to just be able to talk to a group of people that get it, that aren't going to panic and try and fix you and solve you. Which we know you can't kind of fix and solve grief. It doesn't work like that. And so that's what draws a lot of people to the community. It's just having a space to talk, to connect. And so we have forums and groups, and we have daily video discussion groups and audio discussion groups as well. So there's always something, there's different ways of connecting and talking to people, and you can chat one-on-one as well in the app. But it's that ability to find people that really, really get you and your unique kind of circumstance. And, you know, everyone's grief is different. Everyone's relationships and love is different, but there are some commonalities. And I think that's the beauty of the community getting bigger, actually. It's, you're more likely to find someone who relates. So, you know, we recently had someone whose twin had died, and they joined, and they were saying, I really want to meet other people that have lost a twin, because, you know, it's a very profound loss, losing a twin. You're literally in the womb together. And there were like three or four other people that also, their twin had died. And it was really nice seeing them be able to connect with each other and talk about that experience. So it's those kinds of finding people that really get you, and maybe the unique, your unique circumstance around the death, or your relationship. You know, if you had a complicated relationship as well, I think that could be really hard. And we find there's a lot of people that, you know, maybe they're estranged from their loved one for 10 years and then they die, and you've got lots of confusing feelings around that. So just finding your people that get that situation can be really helpful. So that's the loneliness aspect and the isolation. And I think we always say it's like aloneness, not loneliness, because you can be with loads and loads of people, but you still feel alone. And it's kind of addressing that aspect of the aloneness of grief. And then that overwhelming piece, there's just loads you have to do and think about all of a sudden. And I think, you know, I found that even helping my grandma, there's just all this like paperwork, you have to change the name, the car was insured in his name and suddenly it wasn't insured and it was, you know, it was like parked on the street and there's all these kind of complications. And also, like financially as well, I think there was a question of like, would she be okay? And trying to make sure that it's like pensions were consolidated and just all those questions suddenly thrown up. Life is already stressful and busy enough, isn't it? And then suddenly you've got this whole new, all these like new logistical things you need to figure out. And I think a lot of people struggle with that feeling of overwhelm. And also just overwhelmed with suddenly your body feels different and you're experiencing all these emotions that you haven't experienced before. And I feel like grief is so multi-layered. It's that you're not familiar often with the emotions. You don't have language or kind of the understanding of the feelings. And it can be really scary to suddenly feel all these things, like forget, you know, I'm forgetting words and trying to work out why. And so that kind of, I feel overwhelmed and I don't know what's happening and I don't know what I need to do feeling draws people to the app as well. And I guess we kind of help with that in two ways. One is these guides and the team that you can chat to if you need practical support. And then there's all this information and these videos and these exercises that basically say, look, this is what's happening to your brain. This is what's happening to your body. It's normal. Lots of people feel this way. And here are some tools, some breathing exercises, some physical exercises, you know, some thought exercises that you can do that might help you to kind of calm yourself and understand what you're going through. So that's the other side of it. And it, you know, it takes time and everyone's different and what they need is different. And so there was a process of trying to figure out kind of what works for you. And that's, I mean, the next bit of the app development for us is about making sure that people get the right help at the right time for them. So rather than you having to kind of go through the tools and see which fit for you, we can start recommending them. If you're like, this one really works for me, this breathing exercise is great, it's helping me sleep, then we can recommend more of those to you. Or, you know, if you find a member that just really you click with, we could say, okay, well, these are some other members that you probably will click with as well. So yeah, lots of exciting kind of next bits of development for us, but that's at the core, that's what people come to us for and hopefully what we're delivering against at the moment.
It's very impressive. I mean, it's so comprehensive. You seem to have thought of every angle. And actually, that reminds me, I wanted to ask you how you came across the title Untangle Grief, because it's so appropriate. But how on earth did that come into your head?
That, you know, I actually can't remember. I was working with someone at the start and I think it was her idea. So, I think thinking about that kind of knot, you know, everything's suddenly like a ball of string that's all messed up in a knot. And you want to kind of untangle the pieces and make them into nice kind of, it's never a straight line, but kind of straight curvy lines. And so I think that was the origin. And eventually I can see us supporting, you know, all different hard life events, divorces. And, you know, when my grandpa died, my parents were going through a divorce. So that was also why I kind of ended up stepping in. And I remember observing that there was a lot of parallels. You know, there's lots of difficult life periods where you need things untangled. So I think it applies for a lot of things.
So some of the main lessons you've learned about how best to handle grief, but also how best to support people who are grieving. Could you give me a few tips? I'm sure you've acquired a number.
Yeah. And it's interesting because it's always evolving and I'm by no means, I don't know, sometimes I feel like there's so much to learn and it changes all the time. But I think the main kind of complaint we hear from members is that friends have just disappeared and they say nothing. And I get it because it's so awkward, and it shouldn't be, but we're so awkward about talking about death. And I think a lot of people are scared to say the wrong thing. They don't know what to say, or I think there's some strange thing where people think they're jinxing it if they talk about it, which is kind of absurd to me. But, you know, if I talk about my parent dying, it might somehow happen. And then you say nothing, and then the time passes and you're too awkward and you're like, well, I can't send the first message to this, you know, you can't message them to say, let's meet up, without acknowledging the fact that their parents died, let's say, or their partners died. So I'm just not going to message them to meet up. And then and it becomes this spiral. And I've been there myself before doing this. So I would say the number one tip is just say something. It doesn't need to be perfect. It doesn't need to be right. Just something is better than nothing. And, you know, it's lovely to actually send a letter or a card, handwritten, if you can, or just some kind of text, you know, I'm really sorry, I'm thinking of you. I know that this, nothing I can say is going to change anything, but I love you. And, I'd love to hear about that person. So the second thing is actually asking about the person and giving them an opportunity to talk about them. Because someone said to me actually the other day, they're like, if you're thinking about the fact that my partner's died, I'm definitely going to be thinking about it. You're not going to remind me. So don't be scared to bring it up, because if you're thinking about it, I'm going to be thinking about it too. So giving people the opportunity to actually talk about their loved ones, and it's just asking questions and listening. I would say that that's a great thing to do. Also really nice if you did know them to share memories. I think it can be really lovely. And I found this actually at my grandpa's funeral, hearing stories about him from his friends. It was so lovely because I got to see this different side of him, that all these stories, you know, I almost got to know him better through being with them and hearing their stories. And it kind of brought me closer to him. So I think it's lovely if you can, and you knew the person, to share those stories. And if not, actually sharing how they've influenced that person. So, you know, I've got friends that have lost loved ones, and they've often spoken about, you know, one of them's really good at cooking, and they used to cook with their parent. And that, you know, I can say, oh, you're so great at cooking. I know that you used to cook with your mom. Like, so you can almost celebrate their loved one without having known them, because you can see how, you know, in this case, their child is like living out their influence in a lot of ways. So yeah, I'd say something, give them space to talk about their loved one. If you did know them, share your own experience, and just keep checking in as well. You don't need to fix or solve it. You don't need to try and offer a solution. You don't need to have the right thing to say, but just by asking the questions of, you know, how are you doing, or thinking about you, and how are you doing can be a difficult question, because it's like, how are you doing? There's so many different ways you can answer that. So sometimes I say, how are you doing today? Or, you know, I'm thinking of you. It might just be enough. You don't have to invite them to answer. It's also often I say, you don't need to reply to this message. If I message someone, just I'm thinking of you. You don't need to reply to this message. And it just takes the pressure off as well, because sometimes there's a long list of people you need to reply to, and it can be, or maybe you just don't want to have to deal with your grief or the conversation on that day. So it just takes that pressure off. I think all of those things can be helpful. Marking anniversary. So I put in my calendar the death dates of kind of everyone I know, and it's just a recurring calendar invite. And every year, you know, I know that the date's coming up and I can message them about it. That's quite like an easy one to do. So I'd say, yeah, that those are the things as a friend to kind of show up. And then also just doing acts of actual service, you know, like go to someone's house, bring a puzzle, bring some food. And you can always leave it on the doorstep. Like, they might not be in the mood to let you in, and that's okay. But I think showing up in a really physical way, or helping them clean the house, there are things that you can do that just make their lives a bit easier. I think what's interesting is I hear a lot about what people have got wrong, like friends have not done. And so it's actually sometimes harder to say, what would you have liked? And the truth is that what you want from someone changes day by day. So, and by person, you know, some people say, oh, it's so annoying. I keep getting texts from my mum's best friend who's died. And I just, you know, I just want her to leave me alone. I'm grieving. And some people are like, oh, that's so nice. You get to hear all these stories and you've still got that connection with your mum's friend. So it does differ. I think also being asking people, you know, do you want to talk about this? Do you not want to talk about this? Do you want me to do this? Do you not want me to do this? If you kind of put it on a, if you give them the thing, they have the choice, but you, the onus is, I think, on, if you can, try not to make the grieving person have to think about what it is they want and need. And instead, as someone who's supporting them, you do the thinking and say, I can do X, I can do Y. Would you like that? It just takes the pressure off them. Because actually a lot of people say it's really difficult when everyone says, let me know what I can do. It's like, I don't even know what I need to do. So how am I supposed to know what I want you to do? Actually, that's something we probably should make on the app, is a list of things people can do to help you. And just thought that that might be quite nice. And then you can say, here's a list of things. Can you do one and three for me? That might be quite helpful. Or we could do a template one and say, here's a bunch of things other people have found helpful. You can kind of dish it out to your friends. I mean, as we develop the app more, we're creating personalized plans for people. So, you know, because the logistical journey will be different depending on, you know, if you're an executor, if you're not, if there was a will, if there wasn't, if they had assets, if they didn't, if they were self-employed, if they weren't. So we're creating kind of personalized plans, and with that you'll be able to collaborate with friends and family, you know, assign tasks to great Aunt Betty to go and do, and make sure that we can make sure that she's done it. And so as we do that, it might be helpful to, you know, make sure that the fridge is stocked with some food that's easy to cook and healthy, and you can give that to your friend to go and do for you. Yeah, I'm coming up with ideas here as we're talking.
I think the key thing, going back to where the beginning of your answer really, is talking, isn't it? It's basically talking. We need to remember to talk about the person who's died. We need to remember to talk to the person who's lost someone. We need to involve them. We need to try and find out what it is they would find helpful. And it doesn't always happen that way, but it would be nice if it did. Emily, I'm terribly impressed with what you've done. It's a very exciting venture, and congratulations for having got it as far as you have today. And I can't wait to see where you go on from here.
It's been quite surreal in a way with my grandma dying recently, because I'm suddenly both a user of the app and, you know, obviously developing it and the founder of it. And it's been really nice for me to experience it as a community member as well. So yeah, but there's always more to do. And I think everyone who's working in this grief space and trying to, you know, as you're doing, create conversations and destigmatize it, really, because it has become so stigmatized. I think, I can't remember if we spoke about this last time, but the fact that, you know, people are dying often in hospitals or in medical settings, away from home and away from family often. It just means that death has suddenly become this clinical thing and a bit scary. And it is obviously scary. It's, oh, man's, you know, ultimate preoccupation is the fact that we're all going to die at some point. But it means our culture is almost becoming a bit sanitized of wanting to talk about death. And I think there recently has been a shift. And I think the more that we have these conversations and, you know, the more people talking about it and the more kind of mainstream death becomes and grief becomes, the better, because hopefully it will stop feeling so isolating, because actually people will feel comfortable to talk about it. And, you know, maybe one day the community aspect of Untangle won't be needed anymore, because actually people will be able to have these conversations with friends and family and get the support they need from those people.
So that's Emily coming from Untangled Grief. And I think we've learned a lot today. Thanks ever so much, Emily.
Thank you so much for having me. And it's been great talking.
We'll be having more chats in future episodes about everything to do with death and dying, such as how to prepare for it, what it's really like when someone dies, how to talk about it, what kind of plans to make, how different cultures and faiths approach dying and bereavement, lots more around grief and loss, how to support others in their sadness, and my personal hobby horse, how to rebuild a life, a good life, after the loss of someone special. If you'd like to join us to talk about the death of someone near to you, if this episode has resonated with you and you have a story to share, or if you've been affected by some of the issues raised, please do get in touch at hello@livingwithdying.co.uk.